Scripture reading this morning is Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers.
Well, it's so good to see everybody that's able to be out this morning. Thank Jonathan for doing the Bible reading. This is a very familiar passage from the Proverbs. I mentioned when I started this short series that my familiarity with Proverbs passages goes back to taking the wisdom literature classes under Brother Haley at Florida College, and you had to memorize so many passages in order to just pass the class, and this was another one of those which I memorized, and it's one of the more familiar passages in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, of course, is mostly little statements, but there are several sections that have a little longer passages. This one's very familiar, and as we mentioned, we're going to close this short series on the Proverbs on various subjects with a discussion of the tongue. And I think it's just interesting, and I had John do that as our Bible reading, because Solomon says there's seven things God hates, and if you were counting, three of them involve the tongue. And so that kind of tells us how important this subject matter is. And the other reason why I chose to do this and use this topic, several weeks ago when Brother Gary was out of town and I taught his Wednesday night class, we were in James 3. And we were in the passage about the tongue. And some of you might recall, I even mentioned then that passage in James is the only place other than the Proverbs that says a lot about the tongue. But the Proverbs has a whole lot more in it. And we will not be able to look at everything that the Proverbs has to say about the tongue. So I just kind of grouped it into a number of different categories, and we'll quickly look at that this morning. And the first is, the Proverbs does comment about the power of the tongue, and specifically, like the Epistle of James, comments to the fact that the tongue is capable of doing a great deal of good, and that same part of us is capable of doing a great deal of harm. So it's capable of both good and evil. Proverbs 18 and verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Proverbs 11 and verse 11 says, "By the blessings of the upright a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked it is torn down." And so the contrast between someone who uses their tongue to bless and someone who uses their tongue for wickedness. And Proverbs 11 and verse 9, "With his mouth the godless man destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the righteous man will be delivered." And so the tongue can be used for either good or evil, the wise man says. And so let's focus first upon the things he says about the tongue when it is used well. And the first thing I want to look at here is the figurative descriptions that the Solomon uses in the Proverbs that emphasize the value of a tongue that is used for good. The things that he calls it, positive descriptions, he could label this. He says in Proverbs 15 and verse 4 that a soothing tongue is a tree of life. And anybody that's a Bible student can recognize the figurative value of that phrase, tree of life, going all the way back to the creation, to the Garden of Eden. In Proverbs 10 and verse 11, he says, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life." And again, the figure of the fountain is a figure that we use spiritually all the time from the fountain of the flowing blood of Jesus that cleanses us from our sins to the idea of a blessing that just bubbles forth and overflows. And he says a righteous man using his mouth can have that effect upon others. In Proverbs 11:10 and verse 20, he says the tongue of the righteous is as of choice silver. So he likens it to a very valuable, precious metal that we would be familiar with. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And so the idea of the sweetness that can be found in the honeycomb. And probably the most familiar passage about like that in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 25 and verse 11. Like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken in the right circumstances. So just the figure of speech that the Solomon uses as he compiles these Proverbs indicate how wonderful it is when the tongue is used properly. There are other Proverbs that simply talk about the attributes of a good tongue. That is, the things that that good tongue and the use of the tongue in good ways produces. And so Proverbs 15 and verse 23 says, a man has joy in an apt answer, in an appropriate answer. How delightful is a timely word. So if we are using our tongues properly, we can use them to say the right things at the right time. And that can become beneficial, or is beneficial. Proverbs 15 and verse 28 says that the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. That is, when the tongue is used in connection with good thought, we think out our words, then we can bring forth a righteous word, a good word to benefit ourselves and others. And then a passage that just basically sums it up simply, Proverbs 12 and verse 25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. And so when we use our tongue and produce good words, it has a good result. And so is a selection of Proverbs talk about the positive or the good uses of the tongue. Now, on the other hand, this could be, I don't know if it's an important observation, but it's just an observation. And in putting these lessons together, the first thing I do is put every proverb on that subject on paper. And it's 4 to 5 typewritten sheets of paper. And so just my observation is Solomon has a lot more to say negatively about the tongue than he does positively. And so that kind of tells me from a very practical standpoint, as good as the tongue can be, there's great danger with the tongue, and we can do great harm with it. And so in addition to the passage John read as our Bible reading this morning, that said God hates 7 things, and 3 of them involve the way a person uses their tongue to hurt someone else. There are plenty of proverbs that talk about this matter of the tongue when it's used as a destructive force. The first one is there are lots of proverbs, and I've only selected a few of them, about lying. And lying is one of the 7 things that God hates, is a lying tongue. And so when we look at Proverbs 12 and verse 22, it says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. And that word abomination is a strong word. We should, when we see a word like that, we need to understand it doesn't mean it upsets him a little bit or he just doesn't like it. The whole idea conveyed in the word abomination is this is something that totally disgusts the Lord when we use our tongue in this way. Proverbs 12 and verse 19 says, truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for the moment. And perhaps you may remember someone advising you when you're young. Usually our parents work on this with us when they catch us as young children do telling the little lies is one of the problems with a lie is when you tell a lie, then you have to come up with more lies to back up the lie that you've told. But if you tell the truth, you don't have to worry about that because the truth is the truth. And that's the essence of this proverb. If you tell the truth, what you said is established forever. It's there. It is what is real, and you don't have to worry about changing it. But if you lie, then that's only good for the moment because you have to come up with another lie to support the lie that you've told, and it continues to progress. Proverbs 19 and verse 5, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will not escape. That is the ultimate consequence of lying. Proverbs 21 and verse 6, the acquisition of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor, the pursuit of death. And I think that addresses the fact that many people will justify the use of lying in the pursuit of something else, particularly in the pursuit of wealth. You don't generally lie, but if it's a business deal, you do what you have to do to make the deal, because you're pursuing something else. And Solomon just recognizes that really ends in death. Ultimately, there is a consequence for that kind of action. A second category in which the Proverbs talk about the misuse of the tongue is gossip, or we could call it slandering someone, saying something that is harmful to someone, or the telling of tales. And so Proverbs deals with that as well. Proverbs 10 and verse 18 says, "He who conceals hatred has lying lips. He who spreads slander is a fool." Proverbs 26 and verse 28, "A lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth." Proverbs 16, 28, "A perverse man spreads strife, a slanderer separates intimate friends." And perhaps most of us in this room may at some time in our life have experienced being hurt by someone we thought was a friend because they told something they should not have told. Sometimes it may indeed be true, but it just didn't need to be said. And other times, for very personal and jealous reasons, it may not be true at all, but it is designed to harm someone at the benefit of the person who says it. Proverbs 17:9, "He who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends." Proverbs 11:13, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter." And we recognize that. My wife has a number of really bad habits, and one of them is she's addicted to Andy Griffith. And so every afternoon when I come up from my study and it's about dinner time, Andy and Barney are on. And it just amazes me how often Andy and Barney work into sermons, you know. And so I had this lesson prepared, and she was watching an episode of Andy and Barney while she was getting dinner, and it was corny as all get out. But I said, "This is this point whatsoever." And in the episode, for some reason, the government visits the little town of Mayberry, and the treasury is going to move gold from someplace in Texas. Have you seen this episode? to Mayberry. And the sheriff's office is supposed to protect it. And so Andy tells Barney, and this is between us, it has to be this big secret. But by the end of the episode, as the gold truck comes into town, the whole town's there saying, "Welcome, gold truck. Welcome to Mayberry." But Barney only told one person. You know, well, that's tell-bearing. And Solomon says, you know, when you reveal secrets, you no longer have control of what it is. And so Proverbs 20:19, "He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip." Another similar but slightly different term that is used briefly a couple times in Proverbs is the term flattery. And flattery, as Solomon condemns it, is more than just saying that someone looks nice or something like that. There is not an individual in the world, you know, that doesn't like to hear nice things about themselves. And we normally call that flattery. But what Solomon means by it is the person who is using things like that to exalt somebody and gain an advantage. You know, I will say, by the way, that flattery works best when it is for you. I mean, I'll go on record now because we're all friends here. I picked my clothes out myself today. I come in and you all say, well, Debbie sure did a good job picking your clothes today. Well, that's nice, but that doesn't flatter me. That just basically says Mike's so dumb he can't put two colors together. Well, I picked these today, so hopefully, and I did it because Chris said our potluck was going to be fall themed, so I picked a good, nice fall color for today. You know, no, flattery, I'm not saying we don't say nice things to people. If somebody has on an attractive clothing or they've done a good job at something, that's not what flattery is. Flattery is a person that uses those things to try to gain an advantage. And Solomon says in Proverbs 29 and verse 5, a man who flatters his neighbor, watch this, is spreading a net for his steps. He's trying to trap him and get him to do something to his benefit, not to the neighbor's benefit. And then I wanted to comment on this one because I read some stuff that some brethren put out, and I just think that this needs to be said. There's Proverbs about cursing. But we need to understand that that word is not used by Solomon the way we generally use the word in our language today. Because when somebody talks about cursing today, they're probably talking about taking the Lord's name in vain, or using some coarse language. And interesting enough, the Proverbs, to my knowledge, I couldn't find any about that. But I think part of the reason for that is Proverbs deals with very practical wisdom. And that's not a practical wisdom thing. The Ten Commandments, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain, that's a direct commandment. So Proverbs deals with practical things about life. But Solomon uses the word to refer to the tongue that is used to belittle and show no respect for those to whom respect is owed. And so he says about that in Proverbs 20 and verse 20, he who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in a time of darkness. And Proverbs 30 verses 10 and 11, do not slander a slave to his master, or he will curse you, and you will be found guilty. There's a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. So we need to understand that that is never acceptable use of our tongue, to treat people with disrespect who deserve our respect simply because of who they are, like our father or our mother, and people in those positions. And so time is about gone, and so we're going to just finish by looking at a few passages, which is the real advice that Solomon gives in the Proverbs, and that is the man of God needs to learn how to control his tongue. It's actually the very same message as James gives us in James chapter 3. Solomon tells us that the problems of the tongue are avoidable if we exercise control over the tongue. Proverbs 26:20. For the lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, contention dies down. Like charcoal to hot embers and wood to a fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down to the innermost parts of the body. He says, if you don't use your tongue in these wrong ways, you don't create the problems that come with it. It's like putting the match to the kindling. Proverbs 10 and verse 19, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Proverbs 13, 2 and 3, from the fruit of a man's mouth he enjoys good, but the desire of the treacherous is violence. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Proverbs 21:23, he who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from trouble. And Proverbs 17:27-28, he who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even as a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. And so, exercising control of the tongue is not an easy task. And so it's whether we view that from the point of view of these Proverbs that we've looked at this morning, or from the way James talks about it in James chapter 3. But we understand that it's something that each one of us needs to do and do better in our lives. Brother Richard has the prayer, and we'll be dismissed from that, and then we'll go into our Bible study hour in just a moment.